Hour number two, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday so far. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier with you. I'll actually be hanging out with Willie D coming up in from 11 to 2, so looking forward to that. As we get into Nashville SC, as they host Miami tomorrow, which means Lionel Messi, going to be fantastic. What is the latest on the ticket prices?
So last night I was on SeatGeek. I just was playing for fun, wanted to see what the most expensive ticket was. So it came down $3,000. The most expensive ticket is $20,000.
Good Lord.
But the cheapest ticket I found on Ticketmaster was $460, so it's reasonable.
Okay, so let me poll the audience. So for me, and I will full disclosure here, when the Braves were in the World Series, I got hooked up for one game, which was unexpected, but I did. And then I decided for game five, when I thought they could clinch this baby in five games at home, I'm going to go. I paid about $875 for a pretty good ticket. And, you know, where I was like, you know what? I bought it at the box office. So I got it at face value. So $875, that's what I paid. I was willing to go to 1,000 to see my team in the World Series with a potential clincher. So this is a new tournament, it's a championship, but it's not like the championship, I guess, is the proper way to put it. But it's a championship, it's important, and it's the best player in his sport, maybe the best athlete in the world. So you said cheapest was, the get-in price was
$460.
Mm-hmm. Would you pay that?
I absolutely would.
You would?
I think so. I mean, I'm a big football fan, soccer fan, and baseball fan. You know that. But
sure,
to have the point of Lionel Messi coming to Nashville, and I said this yesterday in the midday show, it's going to happen every time he comes to Nashville. I wouldn't say $1,400, $1,500, but it's kind of like, you know, your Cowboys.
Well, I think it might.
You think so?
Because this is what's going to happen. Every time, he's going to be here. And does Miami play here again this year?
So I believe it's in Miami. It's okay. A league game, an MLS league game, but it might, because they already played here. They already played here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But I mean, like next year, for instance, they'll play here.
Yes. Yes.
But you're going to ask yourself, okay, well, how much longer is he going to play? Like, because you're going to have that thought of this might be his last game or last time here. So, like, Wayne Gretzky only played in Nashville one time, and that was with his last year with the Rangers. So, which I think was – that might have been the inaugural season. I think that was it.
Yeah.
So, he played here one time, and so, you know, I know that people were probably thinking, like, hey, I need to go to that game because it's Wayne Gretzky. Now, Jordan played baseball at Greer Stadium a couple of times. But it didn't have the same feel as a Lionel Messi, you know, obviously. So I think the ticket thing is going to continue to be, like, every time he comes here, they're going to be through the roof.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it'd be $1,000 to $1,200. I'd say it'd be more in the $600 to $700, kind of the $460,
sure,
what we saw earlier. I feel like that's what it's going to be at, because regular ticket prices are around, like, $50, $60 on, like, the sides behind the goals. Now, on the sides, like, sidelines, it's around 100, 115.
So I want to know from you, 615-737-1025. Lionel Messi. We know what Lionel Messi is, what he means to the game, playing at Geodis Park. Are you willing to pay upwards of $1,000 to go see him play to say that you saw Lionel Messi play? For me, the answer is no. And I would love to go. I'm going to watch the game. We're going to have the two TVs set up tomorrow, Titans and NSC. I will definitely be paying attention and supporting Nashville SC. I want Nashville SC to win. But for me, on the pecking order of things, sports and stuff I care about, you know, I would pay $1,000 to go see the Braves in the World Series. I would pay $1,000 to go see the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl, or the Titans in the Super Bowl, and I know I'd be paying more than $1,000, but you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Like, I would cough up the money for that, you know, because that's that. Those are my teams and what I care about. I care about Nashville SC. You know, so I'm not going to do that, even though Messi is the best, you know, to play the sport. So I certainly respect and understand what he means, but I wouldn't personally do it.
You made a good point about him playing in Nashville. Could this be the last time? Well, it obviously wouldn't be his last time, but it would be the last time seeing him in this type of position on the field. Personally, I do think Messi will obviously play about four more years. I think he'll play till he's 40. That's my guess.
But do you think he'll play MLS until he's 40?
Yes.
Or do you think another league will?
No,
I do believe a dump truck full of money.
I mean, there might be somewhere way out in the Mideast. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But
I want to see him in Bundesliga. Come on.
his prime might be past the Bundesliga. But
I know. I'm kidding.
I will say the way he plays. He plays as this 10. He could also play in like a false 9 to where he drops back into the midfield. He kind of does that now. It's more of a free roaming role. But if people have watched him play against Philadelphia Union last week, he dropped into almost a deeper part of the midfield. I could easily see Messi dropping in as a midfielder as years progress on. And so where he didn't have to run as much. So he would be playing more at the top of the box if there were to go more attacking. And you'd have left and right backs kind of playing more as forwards and wingers, that is. And dish the ball at the top of the box for him to score.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't know what the hell any of that means, but.
Sorry.
That's okay.
A little passionate there.
Texter says, nope, not going to pay a week's wage to go to a game. Ticket prices greed at its best. It's not even the best league. Way overpriced. That's one Texter. Another one. is this Chris Sanders? Lionel Richie greater than Lionel Messi. That's pretty good. Robert says, no idea who he is, and no, I would not. How do you not know who? Even
Robert?
Come on, Robert. You got to know who Leo is. I thought I was a sports fan until this game. I feel bad I don't know who Messi is until this game. Wes in Clarksville. People really don't. I mean, like, I'm not even Mr. Soccer, and I know who Lionel Messi is.
Also, I think another reason why the ticket prices are going up, there are some big-name celebrities, I believe, that are going to be at this game. One of them is a minority owner, maybe. I mean, he is a minority owner, but kind of teased at it on Twitter. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh.
He teased about it on Twitter, so I don't know if he'll be there or not.
We know Derrick Henry will not be there. He's busy.
He is busy. He is actually working, doing his job.
Well, I don't think he's going to be playing, but he'll be there. I wonder if Forsberg. I bet Forsberg's there.
Yeah. I think he has season tickets.
We know Sheamus will be there. Yeah. I bet Sheamus is glad it's tomorrow and not tonight.
Yeah.
Because he'd be working tonight. Texter says, I gave myself a year to fall in love with soccer, and I still think it's boring. There's not enough scoring and not enough action. I think a lot of people still feel that way.
The scoring is coming tomorrow, I do believe. This is about to be a score fest.
So if I were a betting man, which I am, I feel like a Mukhtar and Messi goal parlay is just a lock.
Messi, potentially, yeah. I'm leaning more towards a Hani Mukhtar assist.
Ooh.
This is the type of game where, yes, you want your big-time players to make big-time plays in a game like this, but Sam Surge, the way he lines up against – this is my little tease for the midday show. I told the people that listen to the midday show I'd give a breakdown of the game. So this is my tease to it. Inter Miami, they are very high-attacking, high-press early on in the game. They start with the same 11 every single game they've played so far in this tournament. Their defensive line plays a little bit more towards the midfield, and Sam Surge comes on the last game at halftime. Fresh legs. This guy's really good with ball defeat. Easily could get behind the back line. So that's my prediction. Sam Surge assists from Hani Mukhtar.
Okay. I like that. There you go. So make your bets accordingly. And we'll have best bets to end the show that includes Nashville SC. A lot of you weighing in on this, and I'll ask this question because I felt like, and some of you are proving me wrong, that Lionel Messi was in the category of athletes that you may not know anything about their sport, but you know who they are. And I think I probably have a list of five athletes that you say their name and you know who they are. I want to discuss that. Coming up next, plus what this game means for Gary Smith, because I think this is an important one for Gary Smith moving forward with Nashville SC. We'll discuss that next. Chase McKay, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, man, I think there are a lot of people who watched Gary Smith back when he was with Colorado in 2010. and initially with Nashville in 2020, who saw probably what was a defensive team and haven't really watched much of Nashville since and just kind of have stuck with it. I think that's a pretty outdated an outdated narrative. He actually, after the Monterey win, he talked about this. He made the point that there's a difference between a defensive team and a well-organized team. And I think that's true. Nashville are obviously very good defensively, but that's not all they are. I mean, you have Hany Mukhtar, who's probably the best attacker in the league. They have taken a lot of risks in possession this tournament. They've gone toe-to-toe with Club America and Monterey, who are legitimately two of the biggest teams in the continent, and not just held their own, but, I mean, they looked better for large stretches of those. So it wasn't just Nashville sitting back and putting 11 players behind the ball and just kind of hoping they can squeak out a 0-0 draw. They've played. And so I think, yeah, that defensive-only team narrative is just pretty outdated, and I think they're a lot more than that.
That was Ben Wright earlier today talking Nashville SC. And, hey, speaking of Nashville SC, well done, Nick. Come hang out at Hard Rock Cafe in Nashville to watch the League's Cup final tomorrow night as the boys in gold take on Lionel Messi and Inter Miami at 8 o'clock. Stop by for your chance to win some concert tickets from 102.5 The Game and awesome prizes from Hard Rock, like Hard Rock gift cards, merch, and co-branded Lionel Messi and Hard Rock merch. Guests who show their tickets to the game or show up in their Messi gear get 15% off food, beverage, and Hard Rock and Messi merch. This offer does not include alcohol, and this promotion is valid today through Sunday, August 20th. So check that out at Hard Rock Cafe. I think this whole League's Cup tournament, Nick, has been really important for Gary Smith because, you know, the team, I think, started off hot, and then they kind of cooled off. You know, I feel like soccer is one of those sports like hockey or, you know, baseball that if things start cooling off, then you look at the guy calling the shots and the coach. And, you know, he's been the only coach that this team has known, even going back to USL. And I feel like that he has done a great job with Mike Jacobs building this into a perennial playoff program and now a potentially a championship winning program. But tonight or tomorrow, I think it's important for him because of what it means for CONCACAF and also what it means for momentum the rest of the season in MLS.
Yeah, no, it means a lot for sure. And especially, you know, after this whole League's Cup is over with, it now sets a new precedent of, is the League's Cup now the new tournament to keep your eyes on?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's going to come down to with Nashville SC because, you know, there's the U.S. Open Cup. Not a lot of emphasis has really been put on that. The fan base hasn't really come out for those. But as for Nashville SC with Gary Smith and this, you know, people say is defensive. Well, you got to build out of the back. And I think Mike Jacobs attests to him. He's mentioned on your show before about the money ball tactic.
Yeah.
About finding the right, you know, players for certain qualities. And I think Nashville SC has kind of found the right puzzle to put together with all those qualities matching up and to potentially win the city's its first professional championship. Would you say that correctly? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be. I mean, you obviously had the Predators winning the Western Conference.
Right.
The President's Trophy. I mean, the Titans have won the AFC. But, you know, talking about championships, you know, that they could potentially, they could be the first. Sounds won the PCL. I'm just trying to think through all of them. But this would be a big deal for sure. Leagues, you know, the League's Cup or, and then, you know, whatever they do in MLS would certainly be a big deal. But back to the Messi conversation, because the text line, you know, people saying that they don't know who he is. A texter says, I'm not a huge soccer follower. I like to watch games, but I had never heard of Messi. Hard to believe that people see him on the same level or is even higher than Michael Jordan. I think it's because he's so global. And Jordan was too, but Jordan was also during a different era where you didn't have social media and all that. But even in that era, like, I think if you went to Europe, you would know who Michael Jordan is.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, that's in The Last Dance. You know, talking about that.
PSG, they have a Michael Jordan-inspired kit. It's an Air Jordan all-black kit. It's in the French league.
Yeah. So, I mean, I put Messi in that category. Like, off the top of my head, just global athletes that I feel like everybody should know. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Dale Earnhardt Jr., is probably another one. Messi, Lionel Messi, LeBron James would be one.
Ronaldo
would be one. You know, before that, I mean, would you put Beckham? Would David Beckham have been in that?
Yeah, if I had to go like a soccer tier, it would go Messi.
Or is he more soccer?
Ronaldo, and then probably Ibrahimovic, and then David Beckham.
Pele?
Yeah, Pele's up there for sure. Yeah, I mean, he broke the barrier for soccer in many of ways. And so, like,
I mean, Pele was on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Like, I love The Simpsons and all, you know, I'm being dead serious. Pele was on The Simpsons back in the early 90s. That was a big deal when he made an appearance on The Simpsons. It was referenced on The Simpsons.
Whenever a sports icon or some sort of sports celebrity makes it on a TV show or goes through that wall of just the next level of just advertisement to some degree, it definitely speaks volumes. And so I think with Messi having this Apple TV deal, doing documentaries and stuff like that, it kind of breaks into, like you're saying with Pele, with The Simpsons and stuff like that. So it's a crazy list to kind of really grasp on because there's so many big names out there. Like, I don't know. If I had to put number one on the list, it would probably either be Pele, Maradona, Messi. Like, it's 1A, B, and C.
What about Shaq?
Shaq is... probably in the top 10.
Somebody said Shaq. I think Shaq is globally known. I'm just talking about if you don't know Jack about a certain sport and somebody says Shaq or Shaquille O'Neal,
they'll know.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
I would say the answer is yes. They would know who he is.
Top 10.
One texter said I would say Dale Sr. over Dale Jr. Maybe, and maybe both of them, but Dale Jr. He's not. I mean, Dale Sr. was just a NASCAR driver. Dale Jr. has become a superstar, and now a lot of that has to do with that he's Dale Jr. But I think Dale Jr. is known more than just in the NASCAR circle and racing circle. He's known globally because he's done Kentucky Derby stuff. He's, you know, he's got a media company now. So I would say it's Jr. over Sr. Got a vote for Mbappe.
Yeah, Mbappe's up there. He's made a few appearances here in America.
Everyone knows Jordan as a brand, but they did not necessarily see him play. Billions saw Messi in the World Cup. I mean, there's a lot of people that remember the Dream Team.
That's a generational thing, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even if you, like, I was a kid, but I watched and remember the Dream Team. And, like, for you that's turning 25 tomorrow, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
You are familiar with the 92 Olympic team because you've seen it in documentaries. And so, yeah, you may not have seen him play, but now Jordan's on the same level.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't say that Jordan is not on the same level. Matthew in Nashville, Michael Phelps and John Cena. I think both of those are interesting. I mean, Phelps for sure from the Olympics, but John Cena has become a global, you know, superstar from wrestling and now acting.
Yeah,
you can put The Rock in there, Hulk Hogan. You know,
The Rock, yes.
The Rock is definitely one. And he played football. Wes in Clarksville, the Williams sisters. I would say Serena over Venus.
Yeah.
I mean, you may know Venus because they're, you know, they're the sisters, but I would say Serena definitely. I definitely put Serena in that.
Yeah, I mean, what she did in the singles competitions for tennis itself. Now, when they played doubles, obviously she was with her sister, and they, you know, capitalized on that as well. But just Serena did a lot more, I wouldn't say for herself, but for her brand in the singles competitions at Wimbledon and so forth within the tennis community.
Text line is blowing up right now, 615-737-1025. Craig says Derek Jeter. That's a good one. Adam, Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yes.
For sure. Another texter says, no way Dale Jr. is on that list. You're wrong. You're just simply wrong. And that is the anti-NASCAR view, I'm sure, but you're wrong. I bet I could walk out on Broadway and ask 10 people, do you know who Dale Earnhardt Jr. is? And I would say 9 would say yes.
I honestly, 10 out of 10. Like, I'm not, you know me, Chase. I'm not the biggest NASCAR guy, but I follow it from time to time. I even know who Dale Jr. is. And Dale Sr.
Yeah. Trey, Tom Brady, when he was on Family Guy. I mean, Brady's definitely one. So another vote for the Williams. Oh, Greg A. with a good one. Federer. Roger Federer. That's a good one. See, now I like the ones that are not mainstream sports that you're throwing out there. Raymond says Tom Brady. Another texter. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know if this one is up there anymore, but he might have been. Usain Bolt.
He was
in a SportsCenter commercial.
He was. Two of them, I believe.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And was he in a Kellogg cereal commercial as well?
He might have been. Ron says you can go to a small country or island around the world and still live primitive with no TV and internet, and they would know. He says Michael Jackson. I think he might have met Mike. I mean, you would know Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I think that was a conversation yesterday they had on Jerry vs. Joe. Or on
and
Wednesday.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were saying Michael Jackson versus Michael Jordan. I think they were saying, like, Michael Jackson be more known.
Matt says one word, Tiger. Yep. I mean, and you know him as Tiger. I mean, one word, you know. What about Mr. T? Maybe in the 80s. Agree on the generational thing, because I remember Wilt Chamberlain. Today's kids won't. But they know the name. Like, I feel like they know who he is.
Mike Tyson?
Tyson could be good. Ooh, Ichiro Suzuki?
Mm.
Potentially. Joey Chestnut. That's a good one. Man, these are just flying in. Keep these coming. We got to get to Gentry Estes. But, yeah, walk out on Broadway and ask the question about an American. I thought this was a discussion about global superstardom. Go to Europe and ask who knows Earnhardt Jr. and still getting 9 out of 10? Probably not. I'm still going to disagree.
F1 people know a good bit about NASCAR. And I have relatives overseas.
Dale Jr., I'm telling you, Dale Jr. is known globally. So, Wayne Gretzky gets a vote. Lance Armstrong, that's a good one. Conor McGregor. Matthew in Nashville. Andre the Giant, RIP. Kyle for Conor McGregor, that's a good one. Kobe. Tommy says Kobe. Yep, 100% agree. So very good. Keep these coming. We'll get back to these after Gentry Estes. We'll ask him too. He is going to join us. He's been in Minnesota covering Titans practice. He'll be back for the Nashville SC game tomorrow. We talk to him next. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I'll be co-hosting with Willie today. Hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville September 14th through the 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove. Text in the keyword bogey, B-O-G-E-Y, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. We say hello now to Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. He has been the world traveler. He's been in Minnesota covering the Titans and Vikings joint practices. And now, Gentry, I believe you're headed back to the Music City, correct?
I am. If you would have told me that I would be up here writing about Nashville SC and soccer during Titans training camp, I probably wouldn't believe that, but it is what it is right now. I'll be at the Geodis tomorrow night.
Yeah, and so we're kind of having this conversation, and our text line is blown up because some people said they didn't know who Lionel Messi was, and that was surprising to me because I put Lionel Messi in the category of just a global superstar that even if you don't know much about their sport, you know who they are. So do you agree with that, and where would you put him on that list?
Well, I would say you always hear these European soccer stars who have come over late in their career. You know, one of the reasons they like to do that is because they're able to basically live normal lives here. They can go to the grocery store, and people don't recognize them and make a big deal out of it. We've already seen with Lionel Messi, he still can't do that, even here. Before his first game in Miami, he was spotted at a Publix down there, and there were videos and photos, and I don't remember that ever happening before for a soccer star in this country. So to me, that kind of answers the question. I think even here he would struggle to be able to go out in public and not be a celebrity. I mean, really, you're talking about the most famous athlete in the world.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's definitely one of the most most famous athletes in the world. So what do you think this means for the growth of Nashville SC hosting a League's Cup final tomorrow, whether it's against Messi or not, but the fact that they've made it to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And I think for Nashville SC, it isn't just that they've never experienced anything like this. It's more that they may never experience anything quite like this again. This is special from a standpoint of not just having Lionel Messi in Nashville. It's the fact that this is a cup final. This is a chance for Nashville to win its first trophy in a pretty prestigious tournament, too. I mean, this was the League's Cup was created at mid-season. MLS thought so much of this that they paused the schedule for a month to play it. There were 47 teams, all the teams from MLS, all the teams from Liga MX Mexico. And the fact that you started with 47 teams, group stage, this whole complicated tournament, and now there's two teams left and the final is going to be at Geodis Park, that's an awfully big deal for the club. And you throw in the aspect of Lionel Messi, and now it's off the charts. Now it's something that I think is going to resonate in the city, and is resonating in the city more than anything Nashville SC has done to this point and may do to this point. I don't think that if they make the finals for an MLS Cup, the end of the season, end of the playoffs, and they host it, I'm not sure it would be as big a deal if Lionel Messi wasn't on the other side.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessee, and as he's doing double duty, covering the Titans and now headed back for the League's Cup final tomorrow. So speaking of the Titans, Josh wants to know on our text line why you were standing behind Vrabel. He thought that was a funny interaction.
Because I walk over and the media, everyone's got phones out and they're taking video. Most of the beat writers do that. As someone who isn't a beat writer, I don't do that. So I tend to gravitate to the sides because I don't need to be in the middle shooting video the way TV and some of the beat reporters do. I actually explained that to Vrabel afterwards and he laughed, but we don't have too many of those scrums with him. Usually when he talks to us, he's at a podium and we're in chairs.
Right.
Kind of in front of him. So that was a rare instance where we kind of gathered around him. But, I'm asking the question, and he kind of side-eyed me and right in the middle of it. Jeffrey, get in front of me. Why are you behind me? I was more to the side of him, I'd say. But I guess I'll position myself better next time.
So they lose Treylon Burks for a few weeks. Vrabel called it best-case scenario, that it's being reported as a sprained LCL and not anything worse than that. But what do you think that means for the wide receiver group moving forward and the potential of maybe one of these other guys being able to grab a roster spot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not good news, right? You know, I mean, you're still missing a key player for a lot of training camp. And, you know, and it is a tricky injury in that there's a pretty wide range of possible return dates for that, depending on how severe it is. We don't know grade one, grade two, that kind of thing. You know, so it's not good news, but certainly it is a sigh of relief to find out it wasn't something season ending or more serious. That would have been pretty sad, honestly. Burks has been, to me, maybe the standout of the preseason if I had to pick one on the team. He's been phenomenal. He's had a great offseason. He's had a great preseason. Everything about him right now seems positioned to have a breakout year in his second year in the league. And, you know, if he'd had that happen, especially on a touchdown too, it was on a deep pass in practice, and that would have been sad. And in the meantime, I think that the first name that comes to mind is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's kind of that just old reliable for those receivers. You know, they've had all kinds of turnover, but it always seems like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine ends up kind of the top of the list when they need him. And he was yesterday. He stepped into what would, I think, have been the Treylon Burks role and made a couple of plays. NWI hasn't had the best training camp. He's had kind of an issue with some drops earlier. And, you know, maybe some talk that given what they have at receiver right now, and they've got a lot of good young receivers who have played well this preseason, kind of making a push, that maybe his spot would have been on the line a little bit. But I think now you say probably not on that.
Yeah, I feel like Roberson's played better. I feel like that McMath, to me, is getting lost in the shuffle if he's not careful. I know he had a couple of big catches last week, but you know, I like Kyrus Jackson, how he has played. You look at the Colton Dowell's been okay, but I think he still needs to show a little bit more. Treshawn Harrison. So I think they have a good problem right now with that receiver group.
The young guys really are playing well, and the guys you mentioned, to me at this point, I'd be surprised if Racy McMath makes the team. I know they like what he does on special teams, but you know, you got a situation there where it's like, if it hasn't happened yet, when's it going to happen?
Right.
He's had, you know, several years of opportunities now to kind of stand out in that receiving room, and you've just not really seen it. Now, there's still a couple of preseason games to go. It could change everything pretty quickly if he goes and has a wonderful game, but the young receivers really are, they're making a push, and you see it on the practice field in the number of reps and where they're being used in the units. And there are several of them, and guys who could help. And I think, you know, practice squad for sure for some of these guys, but it wouldn't shock me to see one of them sneak in there.
Will Levis leaves practice early yesterday. Vrabel said after that, you know, we'll see how he is. Saturday could certainly be the Malik Willis show, but I'm a little concerned that if Malik Willis is the only quarterback available, you know, what happens if he does something and gets hurt?
It's a really good question, and it's one that kind of came up along.
Is Vrabel going to call Brady and say, hey, you want to come out of retirement for a game and back up Malik Willis? Like, what are they going to do?
Maybe there's somebody in that, you know, bottom part of the roster who's played quarterback before. I don't know. I think the Titans really want to try to find that out. But at the same time, you're not going to play Ryan Tannehill. So it wouldn't, if he's not available, and I don't really know the issue with Levis. That one was a curveball for all of us at the end of practice, because he participated in pretty much the whole practice. And I guess he exited early there in the final few minutes. Whatever happened, I didn't see it. If it was something bothering him, and, you know, what we've already kind of found out about Levis, if he can go, I think he'll play in that game. This is an important part of the year for him, certainly, and I think he'd hate to miss out on that. But if it ends up being Willis the whole game, I think that, you know, if Levis is unavailable, I think that's probably how it'll have to go.
You've watched this defense up against the Vikings offense. Do you feel like that they're as good as maybe advertised right now?
You know, this week, these two practices, it wasn't revealing to me as much as it just confirmed a lot of what we already thought from watching practices in Nashville. You know, the defense was very good, and they've been good. I struggle to think of one practice in Nashville in which I walked away from that saying the offense outplayed the defense today. It's been pretty one-sided, and I think, you know, you come away from that, gosh, is the defense that good or is the offense that bad? And I think the answer you get seeing them go against another team in Minnesota is maybe the defense is that good. They did pretty well against a good group. And, you know, all the things, the hallmarks that you've seen already, the pass rush, physical play in the secondary, good coverage, just they look like an experienced seasoned group because they are. They had a lot of guys back and used to playing together, and I've seen nothing this preseason that would hurt my confidence in the defense, I'll tell you that. Offense, kind of the same way, though. You know, struggles in pass protection yesterday. There were a lot of quarterback scrambles and plays blown dead by sacks and that kind of stuff, and again, that's something we've been seeing a lot of in Nashville. You worry a little bit about the O-line, especially in pass protection, and, you know, Danielle Hunter and some of these guys in the Vikings really, really got a lot of – they caused a lot of damage yesterday, and I think the protection had trouble with them, much as they've had trouble with Arden Key and some of the guys on the Titans defense.
Well, Gentry, going to be interesting to kind of see how it all shakes out Saturday in Minnesota, but more importantly here in Nashville with Nashville SC fighting for the League's Cup championship. Appreciate it as always. Safe travels back, and try and get a nap in.
Yeah, you bet, Chase. Take care.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes joining us from the Tennessean as he talks football, two different kinds of football. We will break all that down, give you some best bets for the weekend. Here next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com. Or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Hard to believe that it is here. And also, you can join us tomorrow or Sunday for MTSU Athletics Fan Day. Fans can come out to see the football, volleyball, and track and field teams as the fall season is weeks away. You can get autographs, enjoy live music along with inflatables, face painting, and balloon artists for the kids. The fun will be at Floyd Stadium from 3 to 5 this Sunday. You don't want to miss out on that. Wrapping things up today, I'll be sticking around with Willie D for the midday show, so looking forward to that. But on this show, and obviously a lot going on this weekend that you could potentially be wagering on. They do have the Vikings and the Titans, and the Titans are a 2.5-point favorite on the road. If you feel so inclined to bet on preseason football, that is on the Superbook Tennessee app. Titans win total still at 7.5, by the way, for the year. As for Nashville SC, let's I should probably have done this earlier, but
looked it up. It's plus 148 to win, like not win, but to lift the cup. So that's within whatever result. And regulation, it is just not looking good. It's like plus 220, I think.
So Miami's a pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah.
Is that because of Messi, you think?
Has to be.
Yeah, here we go. So Nashville plus 225, as you mentioned. A draw is plus 275. Inter Miami is even money on the Superbook Sports app. So you can check that out for sure. And obviously there's some bets for goal, you know, Hani Mukhtar or Lionel Messi, you know, depending on what book you look at. For those, I think the best bet for this game, if I'm not picking a side, is I had this written down, is over 1.5 first half goals at plus 150.
I like that.
Like I feel like with the firepower that both teams have, that if there are two goals on the board before halftime, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Not at all. And like for the full game, 2.5 is minus 180. So if you parlay that with, you know, Nashville SC to lift the cup or whatever else you like to your preference, that'll get you to plus money odds at a good favor.
Yeah. So you can do that, obviously. And then on the Superbook sports app, there's a ton of baseball. But I mean, it's crazy to believe that next week is week zero in college football. You know, Vanderbilt hosting Hawaii. I haven't even looked at the full schedule for next week, but, you know, there's a handful of games, and then Labor Day weekend, it all gets going.
Inject it into my veins.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready. It's just, you know, and obviously I love what I do and what we do here, but, you know, talking about preseason stuff for as long as we do, and then finally when you get to the games, it's like, okay, we're there. We made it. So, and hopefully the Titans, you know, can – they've had a couple of injuries happen the last few days, so hopefully they can dodge that and get out of Minnesota relatively healthy. I am curious if Levis is going to play. I really am. I think he needs to. He obviously needs the reps, but you know, if he can't go, he can't go, and then that just leaves it open for Malik Willis. This was Mike Vrabel yesterday. He was asked, if Will Levis can't go, could we see Ryan Tannehill?
If Will isn't able to go Saturday, is Ryan maybe going to get some work, or will it be fully far away?
We'll let you guys know on Saturday.
Yeah, and there you go. Quick Mike Vrabel answer on that.
Is there a way we can put him in the sand pit of doom for saying that?
The where?
The sand pit of doom.
The where?
I think this.
The sand pit.
We haven't used that in a while. That was good to do that. Yeah, I would say yes. You know, Jeffrey Simmons might be back in the sand pit of doom. You know, because he's had a couple of moments, I guess. But plays with that tenacity. And if Vrabel, we didn't really talk about this much today. Vrabel kind of mentioned that of finding that line, but you want a guy to have the juice, you know, and. But also keep it under control, you know, when it really counts in a game. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. But if Malik Willis plays the whole game tomorrow, I'm curious if they try and bring somebody in to be a backup. Or, like Gentry said, is there a guy on the roster that's played quarterback that can be the backup? Like, do you dress Kevin Byard as a backup? I would hope not. But
that would not be a good sign.
That might be where they have to go. you know, or one of these receivers that's all on the depth chart play quarterback or what have you. But I'm curious of that because it is a preseason game, so you don't want to see – or is it a, hey, Levis is okay. If he needs to play, he can, but maybe let's not play him a whole lot. You know, it could be that. So we'll find out, you know, sometime before the game tomorrow on what the case may be there. But the biggest thing for me is offensive line. I need to see the offensive line continue to develop. I want to see a little more Tajay Spears. I really liked what I saw out of him against Chicago. Let's see a little bit more there. And then the receivers. I mean, who's going to step up and can be that, you know, have an elevated role while Treylon Burks is injured? And if you need somebody for week one, who can step in and take that? Is it NWI? Is it Reggie Roberson? Is it Racy McMath? I'm going to be watching the receiver battle because I think now, you know, Mike Vrabel is going to want to evaluate those guys. And so you might see them throw the football a little bit more just to get them those reps. So I'd be curious to that.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Titans, your deep threat, Treylon Burks, is not going to play the rest of the preseason, obviously.
No.
You got to look at a guy like Kyle Phillips. That's who has been on my mind the last couple of days. You haven't heard anything from him about, you know, is he doing well at camp or not? Like, if I'm the Titans, I would work on your short game in the passing game. Like, Kyle Phillips, like, just pass it to him at least probably 5-6 times. I mean, would that be a healthy? That'd be a healthy amount of receptions, and then just dish it a little bit to Chig. Like, I would love to see them kind of just mix it up a little bit, but just be more in the intermediate passing game. Nothing downfield. Nothing too fancy.
Yeah. And I think Phillips has had a nice camp. I've talked to a few people that have been impressed by him, but I agree. I mean, show us a little bit more, see what he can do. I don't expect him to play a whole lot because now you're in like conservative mode because Burks got hurt. So you want to make sure that you get some work in, but you also don't overdo it with some of these guys. And I kind of feel like that's probably where they're at. With a Kyle Phillips or somebody like that, but
you think this scares Vrabel a little bit because just being
I do I think he's always been conservative when it comes to the preseason, maybe a little bit too much, but you know, especially when a key guy gets hurt or it's a close call like it was. I mean, look, it's not great. He still got hurt, but he's not out for the season hurt, and so I think that kind of is in the back of his mind, but. It's part of the game. It comes with it. That will do it for us. I'm going to stick around with Willie Donick. Hope you stick around, too, as Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.